You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to episode 88 of Tendy Talk, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network and the BLPA Podcast Networks. I'm your host Joe, better known as Wash Up Goalie on social media. This week I chat with a guest who has used his platform on the BLPA Big Show to pick on goalies and say things like we should pay league fees and just anything to make us feel bad. But Nick Fleehart has put his money where his mouth is and has played a few games in net. So, without further ado, let's get to the conversation with Nick. All right, Nick, thanks for joining me on the podcast. It's kind of funny it's taken us so long to actually get on together.
Yeah, no kidding. It's been a couple years now, right?
Yeah, and I mean, even before the podcast started going, we were exchanging text, asking advice on how to do different things, and so it's good to talk face to face.
Hey, yeah, same for sure.
As much as you can talk face to face in this digital age, but yeah, it's been a busy week for you. Were you in Columbus this last weekend?
Yeah, I was in Columbus this past weekend. I was in Buffalo before that, and then I think Nashville was before that. And I mean, it's been a crazy ride this year for sure. And we don't slow. I have a weekend off coming up here, and then it's Canmore, Alberta, and then we also have one in DC the same weekend, and then Charleston, South Carolina, and then Minnesota, and then where's that Austin, Texas, and then Vegas. So there's so many now.
You're going where your Google Calendar tells you to go, right?
Basically, I book all my flights at one time, and then I'm like, oh, I guess I'm here this weekend. And,
yeah, when the app tells you to check in for your flight, you know you got to grab a bag.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Columbus is a great city too. It's a very under the radar cool city. I've been going there since I was a little kid. My aunt and uncle lived there. My uncle's a big Buckeye fan, so.
I love Columbus. I mean, they are the biggest supporter of BLPA. And so we basically call it the beer league Mecca. And we go there, and I mean, it could have been our biggest tournament. Like we had people knocking down the door trying to, but the ice there is just so hard to come by. And so we were only able to get a certain amount of ice. And unfortunately a lot of people got left out, but I'm not a Buckeye fan because I'm a Sooner fan.
Yeah.
So that kind of takes that, but I love Columbus, and I'll cheer for Ohio State whenever they're not playing OU. And I'll cheer for the Blue Jackets because they got, you know, my man Johnny Hockey down there now. But only when they don't play my team, of course.
You know, every time I've flown into Columbus,
we've flown over the horseshoe, and I swear it's an FAA regulation that to land in Columbus, you have to go over the horseshoe.
Yeah, they want you to see what they're most proud of. And I mean, Columbus, a lot like Norman, Oklahoma, or the whole state of Oklahoma, like we're proud of our college football team. And so that's what they want you to see. I saw Oklahoma play there in 2017 when Baker Mayfield planted the flag right there in the 50-yard line whenever they beat Ohio State. But the thing I love about college football, I love hockey, don't get me wrong, but I love college football too, because just the pageantry and the rivalries and and all that, it makes it something special. And until you go to one of the big, like a big rivalry game, like I got Oklahoma has one coming up this weekend with Nebraska, even though Nebraska is not any good. But there's just something special about that mystique and magic. And I mean, I grew up going to games as a little kid, running around scalping tickets and making money. And, you know, I think I got offered my first beer when I was in eighth grade at an OU game. So
My uncle is the kind of Buckeye fan that won't leave the house without a Buckeye nut in his pocket. So he wound up marrying my aunt, I think I was in like the second, third grade. And so me being me, I wore a Michigan t-shirt to his wedding reception.
Okay.
And they've been married, it's over 30 years now, and he still has not forgiven me for wearing a Michigan t-shirt to his wedding reception.
So has he taken you to Buckeye Donuts?
I think we've been there. Yeah. Now what he has done, he's a beer connoisseur like myself. So, when I was there last, we went to the Brew Dog Brewery.
Okay.
Yeah. That was a fun one. I hadn't been at his house for 15 minutes before he looked at me and my dad and he's like, let's get in the car. And he didn't tell us where we were going. We weren't even out of the garage yet. And I asked him, so how far is it to the brewery? He goes, how do you know where we're going? I said, well, I like beer and you like beer and dad likes beer. I'm pretty sure I know where we're going. He's like, yeah, it's about a 15-minute drive.
So have you been to our bar there? Have you been to our bar?
No. So I have not. So I've really only been there once since I've been of drinking age. I went there a bunch as a kid. So I almost went to school there, but decided not to. Anyway, I had no chance to play hockey there.
It's a complete hockey bar, right? It's all hockey inside. Like they literally, like one of the booths is a penalty box, basically, right? It's a crazy place. And the people that run that, Michael and Natalie Dar, they're great people, huge BLPA supporters. As a matter of fact, when we said, hey, we're going to do this draft there, and they said, hey, I don't care what it takes. We're doing the draft here at our place. Mm-hmm. And they're just, it's a good people. It's a good bar. And it's right outside the arena, of course. So it makes sense, right?
I'm sure my uncle and my cousins have been there for sure. One of the reasons I chose not to go to college there was because at the time they only had one ice rink in the metro area.
Gotcha.
Because the Blue Jackets, the Blue Jackets were in their infancy still, but they only had one rink. And it's like, no. So I went to school in Minnesota and kept playing college hockey and all that fun stuff.
Now they got a lot of rink. I mean, they got five at least, and six if you count the one at the ice house where the Blue Jackets practice, which is where we played this weekend. Yeah. It's awesome sheet ice.
Yeah. So let's back up a little bit. You know, you mentioned you grew up in Oklahoma. You were a baseball player growing up. You weren't playing hockey.
Nope.
When did you discover the game of hockey and why the heck did it take so long?
I mean, listen, like I've always loved sports. I think that's kind of when I started BLPA, I'm in hockey now, of course, but I wanted to be all sports and I grew up playing baseball and football. I mean, that's what you do in Oklahoma, baseball and football. And so like in Canada where I live now, when they're little, you give them skates and a stick. And when I was little, they gave me a football and a baseball bat and said, go do your thing.
Yeah.
And so it's not that I didn't know how, I mean, being a sports fan, like obviously I knew Wayne Gretzky and, you know, I knew, you know, Lemieux and Jagr. I knew all those guys, but I wasn't, it didn't really interest me. The only part of hockey that interests me is we had the Oklahoma City Blazers, which is a CHL team. And we had the Tulsa Oilers and they were rivals. Well, on Thursday night, they'd always do silver coin beer when I was in college. So we'd go just get, you know, we get shitty.
Be college kids. Yeah.
Yeah. And we liked it too, because in the CHL, they like to fight. That's what it was. And so you'd had goalies fighting before the games even started. Like it was literally like slap shot. Like that's what it reminds me of now. But I mean, and then I went through college, played baseball, and then I met my my wife now, and she was from Canada, and I started watching hockey because she was watching. It was right around playoffs time. It was the, I think it was when the Oilers and the Ducks made their run there in 06 or something, and I remember watching it and cheering against. She rooted for the Canadian team, and I was like, well, no, I know the Mighty Ducks, so let's do that. But then she brought me up to Canada for our first Christmas together, and her family basically gave me a hockey bag full of gear and said, you're going to play hockey. And I was like, no, I'm not really interested. I'm not really interested. I've never skated. And I got on the ice with my wife's cousin, 7-year-old kids. It was a birthday party, and embarrassed the hell out of myself. But I was like, you know what? This seems pretty fun. And then probably a few days later, I met Jerome McGinley. And he made fun of my accent. I probably don't have it much now, but when I drink, I have it a lot. But he made fun of my accent. And I just, at that point in time, the New Orleans Hornets were in Oklahoma City, the basketball team from the Katrina. And those guys, like, they would cross the street not to talk to fans. And here I got the captain of a major Canadian city, you know, bullshitting with me. And then that kind of just jump-started the love of the game. I went back home, and it still took me a little while because I lived in Branson, Missouri, and so there's, you know, the ice rink's 45 minutes away. And so it took me a little bit to do it. And then when I moved back to Oklahoma, I had some buddies. I said, hey, I really kind of want to try to do this hockey, and just fell in love with the sport, fell in love with really the camaraderie. I remember going out for a couple stick and puck sessions. And the OU guy, the University of Oklahoma players were out there, and they were trying to help you. Hey, try this on the transition. And I was just like, holy shit, like I can't even stand up. And here's these guys that are playing college hockey just out here, you know, just like I'm one of them. And that kind of jump started the camaraderie, and then got into my first league, played the Canadian Air Force. Our very first game got the crap stomped out of us, but they brought us in their locker room for beer after that first game. And I was hooked, and I was like, this is where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, you know, you talk about that camaraderie, and I've told the story in the podcast before, where between my junior and senior year of college, and I was back home in Chicago, and you talk about accents growing up, I sounded like one of the super fans, and I've lost that accent since living up here, but when I go back to Chicago, it starts to come out, and my kids laugh. But I was skating, and the group ahead of us, Billy Zito, the Florida GM, he was a player agent at the time, he had his guys out there, and they needed a goalie. They're like, hey, you want to come early tomorrow? I was like, I wound up skating with them the rest of the summer. But once we got in that locker room, it didn't matter that I was this JV college goalie. I was one of them. And the chirping back and forth, it didn't matter where my skill level was. If it was good, they loved it, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. And we even talked about it in the locker room. And the one guy said, you know, we're just all a bunch of blue collar, hardworking guys at heart. And so it doesn't matter what our bank accounts say. We all come from the same place.
Yeah. And I mean, and you get on the ice and you all have one goal, right? It's just kind of one of those things. It transcends. Like I said, I played a lot of competitive sports growing up. Football, I mean, baseball paid for a lot of my schooling, and I even played some pretty competitive softball after that, and traveled around. And there's nothing like the hockey locker room. There's just nothing like it. I love all those sports. I still want to play. Like, I catch myself driving around Calgary and I see some people playing softball, and I just want to go out and shag fly ball. Like, I don't even want to play. I just want to shag fly balls, because that for us, like in ball, like that was our camaraderie, like being at practice and just bullshitting in the outfield, right? But in hockey, it's a different beast, and it really is special, and people don't understand. I can't do it justice, as much as I love to talk. I can't do it justice talking about it. You just have to come out and experience a hockey locker room to get it. But the thing about it is it doesn't matter your skill level, doesn't matter where you're from, doesn't matter what you do. You come in there and you fit like a glove just first time walking in.
Absolutely. Now, you know, as you mentioned, you're now up in the Calgary area. You're a skater, you're a forward.
Yeah, I am a forward.
But peer pressure has gotten you between the pipes. What landed you in the goal crease for a few periods?
I mean, I think we're going to get into something. First off, there's this misconception in the beer league community that I hate goalies. And nothing could be further from the truth.
No, we've talked about it. It's the shtick where people have labeled you that way. So rather than deny it, you're like, well, yeah, goalies are scum. They don't pay. What's wrong with them? They don't skate.
I think that humor sometimes is lost on a few people. I know I have a lot of goalie friends, obviously, because I do a lot of beer league stuff, and some of them get it and some of them don't. And it is shtick. And I love goalies, and we couldn't play hockey without them. But my response to goalies is like, you also couldn't play hockey without players. And I mean, what would you guys do? You would just stand at opposite ends of the ice and look at each other's gear, which is basically what you guys do anyway.
Yeah. Well, but there's that great Steve Carell video where he's practicing by himself.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if you saw when I put the video out. It was on my 40th birthday. I had the day off, and my kids are like, we should recreate that. So we did that on the backyard rink, frame for frame, that whole thing.
I did see that. And you know, like, I think that's the thing. Like, for me, like, I've been doing, you know, this beer league stuff and some media stuff for a long time. And I know that some people are going to take some things way more to heart than other people. But I also know that everyone needs a villain. And if I have to play the villain for the goalie, I'll do it. But just know, I respect all goalies. I've jumped in between the pipes when I was challenged. It wasn't pretty. but I've done it. And listen, I'm not like I'm not a goalie that's never won a game. Like, I played 5 games in my life and I'm 2-3. And I think that's pretty respectable. First 2 games I ever got into, I took a shutout into the third and I thought, damn, this is my calling. I was like, I'm just a natural at this position. I didn't get the shutouts, of course. But I won the games like 5-2, 5-3 or something like that. But then the next 2 games, I gave up 11 and 10 goals respectively. And that's when I knew I couldn't be a goalie, because those first 2 games when we were winning, like, my team's patting me on the butt, telling me good job, like, they're all about it. But when I let in 10 and 11 goals, they wouldn't even look at me in the face. It's rough. It's rough when you give up that many. So I respect goalies. I understand what you're going through. Someone has to play the villain, and, you know, someone has to be polarizing. And I guess that's just kind of what I've been labeled with. But just know, for all the goalies that are listening to the show, Nick from the Beer League Players Association, he does love you. You can hate me, it's okay, but I do love you, and I do think you should pay. But that's just me. That's my personal preference. That's just personal.
I'm glad you're not my team captain, because we had our first game last night and everybody had to pay him, but I didn't.
You know what's funny about that is, like you say that, all the teams that I'm on, the goalie never paid. So it's like, and I was the team captain. So like, I'm saying it, and for me, it's always been, if you expect to play for free, that's where a lot of it, and you bring up the, oh, I pay this much for the gear. And like, I've even done comparisons in gear, and it's not as lopsided as one may seem.
Not anymore. Like, no.
Yeah, no. So we had a goalie that he paid full price. Like, he just came in and he paid. So we're like, okay, cool. Like, Spencer's a cool guy. He pays, like, no one's going to say anything. And then he came to me one season. He said, hey, Nick, I'm going to have to bail out of this season. I can't afford to play. I'll find you another goalie. I went to the boys and I said, hey, Spinny's, well, I think he lost his job or something. I said, Spinny can't play. He can't afford to play. And they're like, well, what the fuck? Like, we'll just pay an extra, I think it was an extra hundred. I think it was, $100, extra $100. So Spinny can play. And we're like, okay. And that went for 2 or 3 seasons. And he came back and said, okay, I can pay again. And we're like, just pay half price if you want to feel like you're a part of it. And so for me, it's not even that goalies should or shouldn't pay. It is always to the team, but it's just the expecting to play for free, because you're not, like, if you're good and you're going to go out and win championships, and I don't even give, can I cuss on the show?
It's fine.
Okay. I don't even give 2 shits about winning at this point in my career. I really only care how rad you are in the dressing room and, you know, the jokes you tell, and if you're a good person. And so if you have that, I don't really care. And if the team wants to front you, then that's the team decision. That shouldn't matter what I say.
Well, and that's always been the thing with my beer league team. They don't charge goalies, but I've always let the captain know, like, hey, if need be, I'll pay my way. You know, he's like, no, we're happy you show up. And when I can't, I find my own sub. When I sprained my MCL and missed 3/4 of a season, I made sure every week we had a goalie. They didn't have to worry. They knew somebody was going to show up and tend the pipes for them. But on the flip side, and this is what I feel, if your team does not charge you, either you bring beer more often than not, And when you do, you don't bring the cheap stuff. You bring something a little bit better.
Well, it's none of it's cheap in Canada. Like it costs like $50 a case. So it's basically anything you can bring. But yeah, I mean, for me, like I said, you're all a team, and it's a team decision. And for me, it's just like, hey, you're a part of the team. Like if the team says everyone should pay. And if they say you don't have to, you don't have to. But see, it's different in Calgary. The leagues that I play in, you need a goalie more than most. I mean, obviously you always need a goalie, but you know, if goalie misses a game, well, we just miss a game. But in our leagues, like if you forfeit a game, if your goalie doesn't show up, you forfeit. You don't only lose that game you forfeited. You have to give the game another game to the team that you forfeited to, because it's not their fault that you didn't have a goalie. So it's really, I mean, it's really important to have a goalie that will show up. And so,
right.
And so and you know, even on goalie talk, like my problem isn't too much the goalie's paying, but the rental goalie services at one point, they just got out of hand here in Calgary. Like I remember going to a rink and saying, hey, can you sub for us? Like our goalie, his car broke down. And he said, oh yeah, I'll sub. I'll be there. Don't worry. And he comes in our locker room and says, only way I'm subbing is if you rip me through the goalie service right now. We're like, bud, like, no, like you literally told us you would sub.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I actually have more of a problem with the rental goalie service than the whole goalie should pay debate. Right? I just want to say, when I say goalie should pay, it's probably more for engagement than anything else, because I know that if it's a slow day in the BLPA, I get
that'll get it going. Yeah,
that's the old tried and true. I can say, God, I don't think goalie should pay, and then we'll have a whole day conversation. And it's always the same. And I just sit back. I'm like, all right, there we go. Got it done.
Any way to start a firestorm in the BLPA is talk politics, religion, or goalie's paying.
I don't even tell, like the politics and religion. Yeah. Like that's one of the things. Like if goalie's paying, like. At least you can give sound arguments, but the other stuff, no one.
We all believe in God late in the game when we have a slim lead.
Yeah, just please don't. I'll pray. I'll do anything.
We don't know which one it is, but we all believe in one.
Exactly.
So you play those five games in goal. What surprised you the most about the position?
You know what? I mean, I knew this because I always hear people saying like how much you actually skate in your little area. Like there's a ton of skating. I don't think people realize that. I mean, because you look at like let's see how I came up and found out about hockey was the Mighty Ducks.
Yeah.
And who did they put in net? They put the fat, unathletic guy in net. Yeah. Like, oh, put him in goal.
Even in the new one, they have the fat kid in net.
Exactly. And so, like for me, the one thing that if you were coming in, and you want to know what's one thing that most people don't know about goalies, if they're not goalies, you have to skate a lot, and you do have to actually be somewhat athletic to succeed in that position, right? As a beer leaguer. I mean,
I was just talking to Steve Carroll, a local goalie coach, who, you know, he was saying the same thing, is how much skating is involved in the position, but it's different skating. So much of your skating in a game is north south, and ours is east west. It's just different skating.
Yeah. And just like the push, like you don't, until you like actually get in and try to go into a butterfly and stopping the first shot, I feel, is pretty easy. Like, that's an easy thing to do. But
well, you weren't playing in my game last night because they were all like tic-tac-toe passes.
It was beginner. Hockey, okay? But, you know, like the first shot is a fairly easy thing. It's straight on, straight coming to you. But then if you let a rebound, like to have to find it and then make your way to that is where it got me.
Yeah, no, totally. You know, at the youth level, at least – at Mites, they make every kid play goalie. But you get a lot of kids that start playing after Mites, and there's so much value to having a kid play the position, even if it's just in practice, once or twice, so that they understand what's going on. I remember in high school, you know, we would have scrimmages on like Christmas Eve or something, and I would always skate out and let one of my teammates play. And it was always funny, after that time they put my pads on, their attitude towards me. They weren't taking those headshots and warmups anymore. In practice, they weren't shooting the puck in the net for when I wasn't looking. They changed a little bit. They had a little more respect for the position.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if I always respect the goalies. Like I said, I'm going back to saying, like, I respect goalies. I just want to put that out there. But you definitely learn, like, you know, for me, like, before playing goal, it's like, just cover the damn puck. Like, why don't you cover the puck? But then you don't realize how hard it is to actually find that. Like, if the puck's just laying around, you know, your pads, like, you have to find, it's hard to find the puck in all the chaos that ensues around the net, right? So, yeah, I mean, I think it definitely helps people, especially if you play defense, which I also don't do that. it kind of helps you see, like, what the goalie sees, so you can say, oh, you know, as a goalie, you know, this is what the goalie's seeing. So as a defense, I can kind of adjust what I'm doing out there at that time.
Yeah, no, it's all good points. So let's switch gears a little bit. Now, the way I found you was through podcasting. Mm-hmm. How did you get started with that? And why did you think, you know what, I'm going to get myself a microphone and I'm going to start talking and people are going to listen to me?
Well, one, I never thought anyone would listen to me. I thought my mom, maybe. I knew for sure my wife would listen to one and make fun of me, which is basically what happened. I have a passion for sports. I have a passion, and what I was doing then was a little bit unique in terms of, you know, the job that I had that a lot of people didn't get to see. And what happened is I was hosting this tournament, and I put our first one ever in Seattle. And I just happened to come across a guy named Steve Miggs. And Miggs is a goalie, by the way, and he is on one of the biggest morning shows, a DJ in Seattle. And we struck up a friendship, and through it, he just said, you know, like, you have the personality. You obviously like to hear yourself talk like me. And I think you could do something in this. There's nothing else out there like it. So, you know, just grab a mic and start talking. And as long as you enjoy it and you're entertaining yourself, don't worry about all that other stuff. And so I did, and it just kind of all fell into place. And here I am. I started that first one. I remember Canada Day, 2015 was our very first one. And I go back and listen to those, you know, just kind of when I get in a rut and I'm like, and why am I even doing this? And I'll go back and listen to them and be like, man, I've come so far in everything, in every aspect. And it's just, you know, it's just one, like, it's just kind of, for me, like, I hate to say, like, artist or anything, but it's just kind of a way to express myself. And now I can use it as kind of a sounding board. And, you know, now that I own my own business, to kind of, you know, test the waters on some of my ideas, because I have so many ideas. Like, I have yellow notebooks full of ideas that I want to do. And so I'll write them down, and I'll circle back, and then I'll mention them. And if I can get some engagement around it, then I can say, okay, maybe there's something here.
Yeah.
And if I, you know, people just make fun of me, I usually still try. I'm like, I'll just try it until I know that there's no chance it'll happen. But, and so it's just a way for me, like, you know, to share kind of my knowledge and something that I don't think everyone gets to see, like the behind the scenes of running a 300 team adult league, mm-hmm. or, you know, running these tournaments. That people just see the outward product of what I do. And that's obviously the tournaments and, oh, you're living the life and I want that job. And I agree. It's a great life and it's a great job, but there's a lot more that goes into it than just me showing up, drinking, laughing, and playing hockey.
Right. Well, and one of the things I actually think about when you're going all around is, you know, you mentioned your wife and your son. It's like, yeah, it's awesome going playing hockey every weekend, but it's also taking you away from the family. And then you get, you know, the late night FaceTimes with the family to say mm-hmm. goodnight and things like that, because, you know, I've had to travel for work, and yeah, it's fun being gone. And like you said, you know, the happy hours after work and this and that, but there's the trade-off. It's all glamorous to a point. Even NHL players go, at some point it turns into a job.
Yeah. And it is like the NHL people, I mean, that is a negative. Like, who doesn't want to get paid millions of dollars? Now, I'm not making millions of dollars, thousands of dollars, I guess. But it you know, the trade-off is, it is my passion. And sometimes you find what you think you're meant to do in this world. And I think this is what I'm meant to do in this world. And so that's a driver for me. And then, you know, when I go to these tournaments and I see these people get excited when they score their first goal, or just the smile, I haven't had this much fun playing hockey in how long. And then I can think back, like, it hasn't been that long. I've been playing for 10 years, right? And so mm-hmm. I can still remember my first goal and what I felt like that. But then I do have a five-year-old, and he's to the point, like, he just started kindergarten. He's like, Dad, why are you always gone? Don't leave. And, you know, that is hard, because I want to spend time with him. But at the same time, I'm doing this for him to provide for him. And also to say, hey, his name's Cooper. Hey, Coop, if you have a dream and you have a passion, then you can do it just by working as hard as you can at it. So I feel like if I don't do it, then I can't go to him when he's old, you know, older, and he's like, oh, I have this, and say that, you know, you can do anything you want to do as long as you have the dream and the work to do it.
Now, I just had a thought. You know, have you thought of a tournament? It would kind of kill the idea of the whole drinking beer all weekend, but have you thought of a tournament where you have the adult tournament going simultaneously with like a peewee tournament? So you got mom and dad there with the kids and all of them are playing hockey.
Yeah, I actually have. Like, I have this idea. Obviously, we have the Beer League Players Association. Yeah. We wanted to do the Root Beer League Players Association, and it was a draft, but it was kids and parents playing at the same time, right? Mm-hmm. So you got to play, because for me, like, when I see these tournaments and I see father, son, son, mom, you know, father, daughter, and they get to play on the same team, it just makes me think how I wish I would have played hockey when I was younger, and I wish my dad would have played hockey, because I could think of nothing better than sharing the ice with my dad in the locker room or my mom. And so I'm like, how can we make that happen? And I've explored it. The hard part is getting kids out with adults and having beer involved, insurance wise, is the hardest part.
Yeah.
But when you talk about camaraderie, and I hate saying family, I hate when businesses say, oh, our customers are like our family. But family is a big aspect in the sport of all sports, really, but it is for sure, right? Because even when you're playing beer league, and I know that we just meet once a week and we play at 10:45 at nighttime, but the people on that team are your family. Like, I mean, you go on vacations with these people. You if you play on Wednesday, you might be going to a barbecue with John and his wife on Saturday, and so it does become your family. And so family is so important to the sport. And when I'm old and my parents are gone, I can think of nothing better to remember my father or my mom by, is that, oh, I was on the ice with them, and I remember this time we did this. And so for me, that's something I want to make happen. It's just logistically, the shitty part about owning a business is you have to treat it like a business sometimes, right? And you want to just go out and do every idea that's in your head. But then, you know, my wife or, you know, my friends that help me out, they have to kind of pull me back and say, hey, like, you have to think about this other stuff, you know.
Yeah, it's funny, because again, last week talking to Steve, you know, I asked him, have you thought of having like a weekend goalie clinic for beer league goalies? And he's like, yeah, all the time, but it's the insurance. Mm-hmm. Insurance is the issue. It's like, you're the first goalie coach I've talked to that's actually said that's the issue.
Yeah.
And he's like, I would love to do it, but it's the insurance part of it. And I was like, okay, but, you know, to your point, you get the kids involved, and then if there is beer, which, you know, I'm willing to guess a lot of the parents will go, okay, if it's a beer-free weekend, you know, we're still going to bring our Gatorade and stuff, and we'll be fine.
Yeah, I think so, but then, I mean, hockey is kind of one of those, I guess softball is like this too, but hockey is for sure one of those sports where, you know, you have a cold, you just have to have a cold one afterwards, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying, like, beer league kind of gets a negative rap when I say it to businesses, because they think that we're just a bunch of drunkards,
right?
Just getting shittered on the ice, and that's not. I mean, sure, it does it happen? Of course it does. Yep. But that's not for us. Beer league is more of a term of endearment and just kind of an all encompassing thing that just says, hey, it's just a bunch of adults, and you know, we hang out in the parking lot or the locker room. But I mean, insurance is definitely a killer, and it's the same way with women's hockey, right? Like, it's for women, it's hard for some of them to play with men, not because it's not equality and all that stuff, but men and adults are just bigger. Yeah, yeah, they're just bigger. So you have a 230-pound guy falling on a 140-pound girl or woman, you can hurt people.
Yep.
And that when I talk to women, because for me, it's always like, I always want to have the conversations. And so one conversation I always kind of have with women is, in Calgary, the Saha, which is the women's league, like, they play the early times and the guys get the late times. And I'm like, well, like, if we want to all be equal, why are we all playing at the same time together? And that's the thing, is like, hey, we would love to, but if you fall on me,
yeah,
it's going to hurt a lot more than me falling on you. And I get that part, right? And so, like, you have to think about that. But I mean, I still, like, I can remember when I was a little kid, and I still do it in minor hockey, like the dads will play the kids.
Yeah, the father's son game. Right?
But that's a big memory. And if I can get that happening in the draft concept, because for me, the whole draft concept isn't even about the hockey. I guess hockey is second. It's more the social atmosphere.
No, I do think you should explore the idea of the draft concept where parent and child cannot be on the same team. They must be on mm-hmm. opposing teams.
Well, that's what I mean. That's probably the number one question I get from beer leaguers is, okay, I see all this social media stuff. It looks like a blast. I want to be at this thing, but I want to play with my friend. Is that possible? And I say, well, it's not impossible, but I can't guarantee it, because the draft, I mean, there is some ethics with the draft. I can't just say, hey, you go play with him, because then that just throws off the whole randomness of the draft. I can, if you're different skill levels, or if we have a lot of your skill level, we can put you in different rounds. But part of the fun is that you come to these and you don't play with people that you know.
Right, you make new friends.
Exactly.
I played it. I know you know Landon from Soda Stick, and I played in his Soda Stick Hockey Classic, and that was part of the fun was getting to meet the new people on my team. And remember the first year. We had two gals on the team, and we had a couple hours between our last game and our championship game. And, you know, most people were drinking, and I'm so bitter that my team, which wasn't sponsored by the brewery, just about everybody got shit faced. And then the team we played, sponsored by the brewery, came to the game sober. I was like, how does this work out? But there were two girls, they were friends, and they were just drinking. And the one friend's like, all right, you need to stop, because we got a game and 90 minutes. And if you want to be able to skate, you need to stop now. And I'm in the locker room. They come walking in. The one's just upset. Like, I can have one more. She's like, no, you can't. You're too drunk. And she looks at him. She goes, am I too drunk? I was like, I just met you yesterday. I really don't know your tolerance, but you seem like you should stop. But it was just like, at that point, you know, it just kind of looked at me like we've been longtime friends. But yeah, I just had another idea, because I had Jen Lee, the goalie for the U.S. Paralympic team, on. Have you thought of having it would probably wind up being I know you did the veteran tournament, but have you thought about doing a warrior tournament for sled hockey?
I think that would be a very interesting thing. I think it'd be cool to get some of us players that aren't in sled hockey to do it with them. But I've tried sled hockey before. It's not easy.
No.
I always joke, like, at these drafts, like, I'm tired in warmups. But like this one, like, you people don't realize, like, how much endurance and stamina it takes on your upper body to get around the ice. It's just, it's hard, but I think it would be a pretty cool. I mean, I think the hard part is, I mean, look at our group of 23,000 beer leaguers now. Mm-hmm. And we struggle filling up tournament. Like, we're going to be in Minneapolis, and our numbers are really low. And it's surprising to me that we are really low in the state of hockey, but it's just the same with sled hockey. Like, how would you fill that? That would be the one thing that would concern me, is how would you fill that kind of stuff up? Cause we have struggles even with 24,000 beer leaguers around the North America. So.
Well, when you told me you were having troubles filling up the Minnesota one, my first thought was, oh, did he schedule it for Deer Opener weekend?
Was it Deer Opener?
No, I don't think it is. No, because a Deer Opener is usually around my wife's birthday, which is in the beginning of November. But the Minnesota one is October what?
October 7th through 9th.
7th through 9th.
Yeah, the first weekend.
Let me look. Let me see when the Wisconsin Deer Opener is this year.
Yeah, 7th through 9th.
Because we're close enough to Wisconsin that they do cross the border.
Yeah, so and we're doing something unique for this one as well. I mean, we're doing a team tournament and a draft at the same time.
Yeah, great segue. So the draft in Minnesota, you know, like you said, it's the 7th through the 9th, and it's the youth deer hunt in Wisconsin that we don't care about. We don't care about that. Yeah. If we can't shoot, we don't care. but so the drafts, for those that aren't familiar, explain the drafts.
So basically, I mean, the draft is just kind of a unit, and I guess it's not even unique. Like, I see so many people doing drafts, but basically you sign up as an individual and we make a theme for every tournament. You sign up as an individual and then we take all the skill levels of the players and we make draft rounds like you were in the NHL draft.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter where you are in the draft, where, like, no one knows, unless you just know the players there, you don't know what the ringer round is and you don't know what the beginner round is. Mm-hmm. But the theory is every player in your round is a similar skill to you. Mm-hmm. So every team is going to get one ringer, you know, one beginner, and then a mix in between. And then if you take it and the theory holds, then you have a tournament that is completely equal in skill level. And it doesn't always work like that, but just look at Columbus. Like, I played on a team and Saturday we were 0-2-1. Mm-hmm. We were on our road to last place, and then we came out and we beat the best team Sunday morning to go to the gold championship, and then won the championship. And so, you know, for us, like I always say, like, the hockey is not the main concern. Sure, that's what we're there for. We love hockey, but it doesn't really matter. We all make a championship game,
right?
And what are you winning at the end? You get to take a picture with a banner, and you get a gold. Let's see, I have one here. Then you get like a little gold medal. That's a bureau. Yeah. Right. So at the end of the day, like, it's more about the people that you associate.
It's the memories.
It is. And
the NFL action is in full swing here at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. We're talking touchdowns, big plays, and even bigger wins. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do. If that's not enough, everyone can boost their winnings with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. Right now, for every leg you add, you can boost your winnings up to 100% with payouts bigger than ever. Why bet on football anywhere else? To make things even sweeter, you can throw down on stepped up same game parlays once per game day, all season long. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN to get $200 in free bets if your team wins when you place a $5 bet on any football game. That's code THPN only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
You know, we were talking about it just a second ago, but my favorite part is when I see people that meet new people at tournaments, and then you can kind of see like their friendship growing through like our group, our BLPA. And mm-hmm. then all of a sudden you see them and they're on like a family vacation together, or you see them like, hey, I'm going to the tournament in Minnesota. Which one are you going to? Oh, I can't make Minnesota, but can you make Boston? And like, yeah, let's do Boston together. That's probably the best part of the group and the tournaments for me, is just seeing people build those lasting relationships with each other through it.
So you simplified the draft a little bit, and it's not as simple as, okay, in this round, these are the players available.
Yep.
How do people pick the players for the next round?
Well, I mean, in true beer league fashion, you chug beers. That's usually
or what we do. As you pointed out, if you are sober, there is the non-alcoholic option too, but you still have to chug.
Yeah. You've chugged something. We've had ginger ale, and then we've had some people that have some other issues, and we've done water. And we listen, don't come up and tell me you got to do water because you think it's easy. But if you have a minute, we take care of you. We want everyone to have a good time. And a lot of people are concerned about, oh, I don't chug very fast, so I'm going to screw my team over. At the end of the day,
that's part of it.
Yeah, no one remembers and no one cares, really, to be honest with you. So usually what happens is usually the goalies are first. And what we do is we all have pretty cool jerseys. I have to say, I'm very happy with how our jersey designs have been turning out here lately. And so the goalies chug a beer, and how they finish is how they get to pick their jerseys. And it is still random. Like, they still have to pick a random card. And so they don't just get to pick the one they want. And then, because I found it's way easier to score on drunk and hungover goalies, we then make them chug a second beer. And they chug, and that's how they pick round number two. And then round number two will pick round number three till we get all the way through and the teams are picked. And then we'll bring each team up individually, and we'll give every player another beer, and then we'll do a timed boat race, and that's how they pick their schedule for the weekend. So obviously that's the important one, because usually our games start at 8 or 9 in the morning, and you don't want those 8 or 9. I mean, I have to be there anyway, but I don't want to play at 8 or 9.
No. So where I'm going to guess the draft tournament for Minnesota is across the street at Invictus.
We actually haven't nailed down the bar yet. That's on my list to finalize tomorrow. Invictus is definitely on the top of the list. And
I mean it's across the street, so yeah, it makes sense.
We take the party wherever we go. So we've done them at the rink before, and we might have to do it at the rink too, just because, you know, if we're running a team tournament, I got to be there for that too. And I want to be, so it's just one of those things, but I think Invictus is definitely at the top of the list if they'll give us some space, but I think that they'd enjoy having us for sure.
Yeah. Like I said, it's right across the street. They do have a little, might not be big enough for your group, but they do have a little room there. In fact, I'm bringing up my beer league schedule to see where I'm at that weekend. Yeah. We got a 10 PM game that night, which now I know why we're skating at 10 PM on the 9th. It's because of you guys, not the 5:40 game, not the 5:40 game I've got next week. So you've got the draft tournament going in Minnesota, but unlike most of your drafts tournaments, you have the BLPA bash going too. What are the BLPA bashes?
So the BLPA bash is just, hey, I get that not everyone's going to like the draft concept. And so we do the traditional team tournaments too. But for me, the key is you try to take that social atmosphere that you get at the draft and infuse it into a team tournament. So it's a traditional team tournament. But on Saturday, we do we call it the barbecue kegger. Basically, we provide beer and food all day, and people, you know, we encourage people to just sit outside with other teams. Like, hang out with your team, but bring your other team over. And to be honest with you, Minnesota is kind of where I started cultivating the idea for
the
this
solo cup tournament,
the Walleye Chop, actually, where I started, and just having that whole. And so I've always been chasing creating my own Walleye Chop, and it's sad that they're gone, but I'm trying, but
upset a lot of people,
but I'm trying that's what we're trying to run that for them. Right. And so if we can get some success and some teams into this tournament, then I can take a case to them and say, just let me do it. Like, let me, you have no liability. Let me rent the ice. I think I can do, I mean, I've done, you know, 50 team tournaments. I know 100 teams is double that, but I think we can control. I think we can make something really good and fun and have people come out and have fun. So even if you're unsure about the BLPA and you're local and you like the Walleye Chop, come out and support this one so we can turn it into, you know, bringing the Walleye Chop back.
Yeah. And it's funny. I had teammates that would play in that, and I hated Walleye Chop weekend because half my team would come walking in the locker room for a 10 o'clock game, 3 sheets to the win. I'm like, I'm just going to get peppered tonight. You know, and it didn't matter if it was supposed to be a team we should beat. It was like, it doesn't matter. All bets are off because half the players are just drunk. You know, because you've been to the Walleye Chop, and Walleye Chop was at the beginning of the season. Red Solo Cup was around this time of year. And they had co-ed division. They had, you know, guys division. They had female division. They had upper division, lower division, tons of teams there. And you'd have people with their RVs out there. You'd have people camping. Mm-hmm. And it was just people set up sitting in the parking lot all weekend between games. And that's what people loved about it. It was just the getting together. I know some of the women from our college team, when I was there, they would kind of have an alumni gathering every year for it. And that was cool. Their one time a year. They would get together for, you know, the Walleye Chop.
Yeah. And it's sad that it's kind of gone away just because of whatever reasons. But I mean, I would love to at least have the BLPA involved in reviving it a little. I mean, I literally, my favorite part of that whole tournament is I can remember sitting there, and they brought us out because of the podcast that I was on. And we were out there just feeding people shots and sticks. And then we're just sitting around, and we have a little campfire going, and then we just hear, and a little Zamboni, remote control Zamboni, pulls up to it, and the door pops open and it says, have a free beer. And you just reach in and have a beer. And there's just a team. And I was like, wow, this is rad. I love this. It's incredible. Yeah. So I hope we can kind of get, I mean, like I said, registration for both has been pretty low, surprisingly to me, in Minnesota. I mean, we've tried a lot of things. So, anyone that's in the area, like we probably have about a week before we have to, you know, make some drastic decisions.
Yeah. I've been seeing the sponsored ads on social. So you're getting the word out. That's for sure.
Yeah. So hopefully we can get in. I've tried to been working with the rink, but I, you know, like I said, I think a lot of it is the rink. Yeah. Rink's a business too, right? They want to lessen their liability, and I completely understand and get it. And like I said, sometimes beer leaguers get a bad rep just because there's beer in the name. And
you know, I didn't even pay attention yesterday when I went to the rink. Have they put any signs out around the rink for it?
I mean, I sent flyers. You know, I've sent, I think his name's Pete. I've sent Pete some flyers, and he said he'll spread it around. And so, you know, that's basically you do what you can do. And
yeah,
and
I'll have to check when I go there on Saturday, since I'll be of more sound mind, because it's not so late at night. It'll be light still when I get there. But I know they sent the email the league every now and then. I'm surprised they haven't sent an email out saying, "Hey, you know, their newsletter."
Yeah, he said he had, but you know, I don't get it, obviously. So
that may have gone to the team captain, so too. Yeah, it was. I'm not a team captain, so I don't want that responsibility of collecting money.
Yeah, collecting money, but you know, and that's another thing. Like when you talk about goalies and paying, if goalies aren't going to have to pay, I don't think team captains should have to pay either, because it's a pain in the ass. It's a lot of work. No one understands how much, because you're the liaison between the league, and not only do you have to hear the league, you know, and their complaints and what you need to do and not do, but you also have to listen to your players. Then you got to collect money from them. And it's just, team captains are very definitely not respected enough.
They are. I know up here we have the Hockey Finder League, and I think the team captains, so everybody for Hockey Finder, it's kind of a cool concept.
Mm-hmm. I know Hockey Finder.
Yeah, you know, you register as an individual, and they just kind of spread people every year, so you're not on the same team. But the team captains, they get a break every year, and they get a gift as well. You know, I think one year they got like backpacks, you know, something, which is cool. But it's like, yeah, they know it sucks, so they take care of those people, because they want them to keep doing it. And I sub every now and then for Hockey Finder, and it's interesting. That was a Hockey Finder skate where I'm sitting in the locker room before the game, and the one person offered me a pregame beer. Is like, well, yeah, I find I play better when I have one beer before the game. It calms me down. And she tosses over a stout, and I just looked at her. I was like, do you want me to stop pucks tonight? Like, I'll drink it after the game, but I am not drinking this before the game.
Yeah, you have to have like the pregame set of beers and the postgame set of beers. There's definitely an art form to it. Nothing too heavy before the game.
Yeah, like either right before a game or right after a game is when a good, cheap, light beer is perfect.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's like once you get on the parking lot, then you bring out the nicer craft beers, but it's like, yeah, don't be tossing me a stout right before I get on the ice. Now, it was delicious. I will say that. I drank it after the game. It was amazing. I like my stouts. You know, the one thing we haven't talked about yet is your podcast, the BLPA Big Show. The quick elevator pitch, how would you explain the podcast? I always explain it as, you know, it's a bunch of beer leaguers just talking draft experience shenanigans and, you know, life around
the league. Yeah, I think it's an extension of the locker room. So basically anything that you'd hear in the locker room, in the parking lot, that's what our show is about. And it's really just trying for me, like I love going to the rink. I hate leaving the rink, and I hate leaving it because I know, you know, I could be bullshit with my friends some more. Right. And so we try to take that idea to it, and it's evolved a lot. I mean, there's a lot of draft talk because I do a lot of them. Right. And that's my experience right now, but we're working. Like I actually was in Minnesota, as a matter of fact. I flew from Calgary to Minnesota, and I was on, it was after the, what's the James Hlinka or whatever the big scouting event that was here in Calgary, just a little bit ago, and all the scouts were on my plane. And so I got to have a conversation with a couple scouts, and I've talked to a couple of them and coming on my show. So I definitely want to start adding a few interviews in, and not necessarily like, you know, your show is basically, it's a goalie-centric show, and you talk about people's experiences. I want to talk about things that beer leaguers normally, like I'd like to talk to an agent and I'd like to find out all the inside information. And not even like the stuff that people know, just, you know, just talk about the questions that we have as goal leaders towards an agent.
Yeah. Or, well, you know, what's the weirdest thing you had a player want in his contract? Yeah. You know,
and just some stuff like that. And then even with the scouts, you know, get to the nitty-gritty. Are you ever going to show up at our beer league games? We need to know this.
Yeah,
because we got a lot of donkeys scouts. That think you are. Yeah, scouts in the stands. And so I actually have a funny bit idea. Like, I have so many ideas about bits, but one of them is I know a couple of those guys, right?
Yeah.
Those guys.
You
know them. And I.
Softball guy. We all know them.
Yeah, you always hear, oh, there's no scouts in the stands. But I want to actually put a scout in the stands, and I want him to do a scouting report of Daniel the French Canadian goalie that puts up 15 goals in the beginner division. And then I want the scout to go into the locker room and tell Daniel his scouting report. I just think that would be fun. I want to take the show in that direction. Right now with what I'm doing, time is at a premium. And so, you know, to be able to put all that stuff into play, I think I'm transitioning into a part where, you know, as we keep growing, hopefully we keep growing, you know, I'll have to infuse some more staff, or at least a staff. You know, I'm the only staff right now, but to infuse, you know, some people in there that can take those responsibilities off to, so I can, you know, focus on that stuff. Cause I do love the podcast, and I love sharing my experiences with people. It just, you know, when I just flew in tonight, back home, I got to see my kid for an hour before we put him to bed. Now I'm jumping on this, and after I do this, I'm gonna have to go start editing photos, and then tomorrow I'm gonna have to find draft venues and design jerseys. Yep. And so, you know, as you keep going, you try to find ways to kind of plug some stuff. And but I'm getting old and tired.
No, I get it. I mean, I work my 40-hour work week. I play hockey, and you know, I have the family, my kids are in different activities, and then, oh yeah, I got this podcast, and you know, it's not as simple as sitting down for an hour mm-hmm. and a half talking to people. There's the editing that goes into it. There's the social side of it. And I'm just doing a small portion of what you do, and it's time consuming. You know, there's those days I'm sitting there going, you know, if somebody could pay me what I make at my 40 hour.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know, great. Perfect. I would do it in a heartbeat, and I could turn this into something awesome, but this is my hobby. This is my side gig. And, you know, to your point, it's the extension of the locker room.
Yeah. And also extension of what I do, right? I mean, it's what I do. And, you know, I think that, you know, a lot of people don't understand that part of editing and just the social aspect for me, because I guess I don't ever think that like, oh, people know me but I have a lot of conversations through my podcast. And for me, I've always felt, even when I first started doing it, I remember saying to myself, if people are going to give me their time to ask me questions or talk to me, then I have to give them my time. Like, it's the only right. Right. And so you kind of get, that takes up a lot of your time. Like, the social, people don't understand the social interactions that go along with these. Probably I spend way more time doing those than I do podcasting or doing that. But I'm not saying I don't like it. I love it, but people don't realize that all that stuff comes with doing a podcast and people seeing you on your BLPA group or at the tournaments. And so, you know, a lot of people don't realize the time. And that's one portion of the podcast, is kind of letting people know, like, this is what I'm doing. This is the behind the scenes. So understand that it's more than just, you know, me talking on a microphone.
Well, in the time thing, I mean, it was magnified this summer for me, because it was like, I try to put a new episode out every week. Well, and then on Mother's Day, my mom passed away, and I didn't have the desire at that point to talk to somebody about hockey and the time. And then when I did, it was like, well, now I got to make time for it. And I kind of got used to not doing it. So it was like getting back in the saddle and doing it again. And oh, on top of that, we had a few house projects going as we explore a possible move down to Nashville. So it was like, when am I going to record this again? But now that all settled down, and you know, winter is coming here in Minnesota, so all those outdoor projects had to be done.
Yeah. Well, you're just you, right? So
yeah.
I have a co-host, Jason, and he, his schedule's crazy too, right? So now we have to find ways, and, And I've kind of, like I said, I've taken my foot off the gas a little bit just because I have been so busy, but I know that I need to start, you know, hammering it back down. But we also have another show, like, obviously, you know, you're part of our network and the other ones that you're around. Like, we have another show called the BLPA Roundtable where people came to me and said, hey, I have an idea for a show. And I'm like, if you can commit to it and do it, then cool. And so that's another part of the BLPA is growing that content base, because I know, like, I'm not egotistical or so egotistical that I think that I'm the only one that has a voice in Beer League. Like, I want to have a new show every day. I want to have content. Like, we're working on the Beer League magazine. That's going to be a publication that's going to go out to anybody that wants it. Mm-hmm. And so there's so much stuff just to reach beer leaguers and let them know really that, hey, you have a voice. That's because that's where this started for me.
Yeah.
Having a voice for Beer League. Cause I noticed that in hockey, especially hockey, all the marketing dollars of Bauer and CCM and whoever else, you know, wants to sell the hockey players goes to the high level player and it goes to the kids. And here I am thinking, shit, I'm the one spending all the money. Like, if I have a kid, he's going to wear what I want him to wear. So why don't we have a voice? Why don't people take us more serious? And so, you know, just let them know that beer, like, we're important as beer leaguers. I know they don't really care about us, but we are important and we have a voice. And there's a lot of things that people don't realize our point of view is important. Yeah. So let me give you a way to share your point of view.
Well, and we're the ones that have the wallet, not the kids.
100%. And I think I've had so many conversations. I've had conversations with Nashville. I've had conversations with Anaheim Ducks about, I get what you're trying to do. Like, you're trying to fill your seats. I 100% mm-hmm. agree. And so you're trying to, sure, you love hockey and you're trying to grow the game. What you're trying to do is you're trying to grow people to buy seats to your sporting events.
It's a business.
Yeah, we're not stupid. Like, you don't, let's not pretend that we don't know that. But why are you only marketing to little Johnny who's 7 years old? What can he buy?
Yep.
He can buy nothing. But guess what? Nick, his dad, can buy little Johnny everything he wants. And so why don't you market to the beer league segment? Because you know what? If you turn me into a beer league player, then when little Johnny wants to start playing sports, guess what I'm going to put him in? And guess where little Johnny's going to want to go when he's playing hockey? He's going to want to watch hockey games. And hey, Bauer, mm-hmm. if I'm wearing your stuff, guess what? I'm going to buy little Johnny. He's going to have a Bauer stick. I'm not going to let him go to CCM, right? So, you know, it's just a whole, you know, flipping that on its head. And I get it. Like, you see, you know, obviously Johnny Hockey wears, you know, whatever, Warrior gloves. So all the little Johnny Hockey wannabes want to wear Warriors too. So I get having to spend that money to promote to those little kids. But hey, we're important. Our beer leaguers are important, and you know, we need a little respect too. And that's what the BLPA is all about. It's like, here we are. We're a huge group of people, and we can, and not even just getting marketing dollars from companies, but we can change the world by doing what we do.
That's where, you know, I'm surprised there's not more companies like Arsenal, where, you know, they came up with the composite stick for the beer leaguer.
Yeah.
Not for the kids, not for, you know, the collegiate or junior players. It's the beer leaguer. It's a good quality composite at a fraction of the price.
They used to be involved with us. I haven't heard from them in a long time. I don't even know if they're still doing their thing. But I know that when COVID came, it kind of hurt them a bit. But I was looking at my stick. I usually just get free sticks kind of tossed to me, you know, on the regular because of what I do. But I grabbed the stick that I like to use, and I was sitting on the bench, like, taping my stick. And I'm like, I have this brand new Bauer and I have this brand new CCM, but I keep coming back to this Arsenal stick. Like, I just like it. And it only cost $179, and it didn't cost $329. $399 now for all these sticks. Right. So, they need more people. Like, I mean, you need more people that, hockey's expensive as it is, just paying league fees. You shouldn't have to pay $400 for a quality stick. So
I'm a big fan of the Arsenal fellows. You know, I've played against Andy and ran into him in tournaments.
Andy's a great guy, yeah.
And I always chirping him, going, when are you going to come out with the Arsenal goalie stick? Because I want a composite, but I don't want to pay those prices. And he's like, we're working on work. He's like, trust me, when we get one, you're going to be the first to know. And come on, Andy. I even had him on the podcast because what few people know about Andy is he was a goalie in his younger days.
I didn't know that.
So, yeah, I haven't talked to him in probably about a year. But, yeah, I was this summer, I think I was going through Twitter and just kind of sent him a random tweet like, hey, What you up to? Because they were never very active on Twitter, but whenever I would send him a tweet, he would usually fire back. But we first played against each other in that first Soda Sick tournament, and we were going back and forth the whole time, to where it was no surprise that we faced each other in the opening game of the tournament with the amount of back and forth we had going.
Yeah, I mean, and they're good guys. And for me, I always say, like, as beer leaguers, we got to support people that support us, and they support beer league. They support the crap out of beer league, really. I mean,
they do.
That's what they're for, right?
So. Yep, they do. All right, so you've listened to enough of my episodes. Sometimes I wonder if you do, because you couldn't remember who Eddie Belfour was that I had him on the
that's
podcast.
That's just goalie stuff. Yeah. I was talking about him the other day in your episode. It revolved around drinking, but I'm like, we should get the hockey booze. Like, let's mess around with regular stuff.
Let me grab it here real quick. Because I had him on, I mean, he even sent me a bottle of this whiskey there.
Well, how do you like it?
So I'm not much of a whiskey drinker, but you know what? This stuff's good. It goes down smooth, and once it's available in Minnesota, I'll be picking up more.
Yeah, I mean, he has that, and then there's like the High Stick Vodka, which I think he's up in Edmonton. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, you try to gravitate towards that stuff that, you know, especially, you know, with what we're doing is, you want to support those little guys that that are kind of trying to break it in. And obviously, Eddie Belfour is not a little guy, but
no,
you know, in terms of just trying to use hockey as a vehicle to promote the game, promote what they're doing. And so I love seeing stuff like that.
Yeah. But as you know, I end every episode with 10 questions, same 10 I've asked every single guest. And the first one, and this can go back to your baseball days too, because baseball coaches are pretty crazy at times. What's your craziest coaching moment from your playing days where a coach just lost it?
Actually, you know, it wasn't crazy. It was actually me as an umpire and a coach. And I remember it was Little League. It was girls softball. And this girls team was just beating the hell out of it. They're beating the brakes off this other team. And I'm just like, God, what a bunch of jerks. Like, what's going on? This coach, like, he looked down there. And then finally I had to walk up to him. And I said, hey, coach, like, what about taking your foot off the gas here? And he pulls down his sunglasses and he goes, that's not how we were taught, was it, Nick? And it was a guy that I grew up playing baseball with my whole life. And we were on the same team. Didn't even realize it. And I'm like, you're right. We didn't. So I was just like, okay, carry on.
Carry on. Keep going.
Tendy Talk guest. Lately, I've been listening to a lot of different hockey podcasts, the new Flogging Molly album, and Finishing Up the Game by Ken Dryden on audiobook. And it's been great. One of the reasons it's great to listen to, because I use my Raycon wireless earbuds to do it. Raycon's everyday earbuds look, feel, and sound better than ever. With optimized gel tips for the perfect in-ear fit, these earbuds are so comfortable and they will not budge. Trust me. Raycon gives you 8 hours of playtime and a 32-hour battery life. Raycons are priced just right. You get quality audio at half the price of other premium audio brands. It's no wonder Raycon's everyday earbuds have over 50,000 five-star reviews. Some of the best features are the 3 customizable sound profiles, the noise isolation, and the awareness mode. I saw just this weekend one of my favorite Instagram DIYers, Philip or Flop, uses them as well. Go to buyraycon.com today and use code THPN to get 15% off your Raycon order. That's code THPN15 at buyraycon.com to score 15% off. Buyraycon.com, code THPN15.
So the next question, what's your favorite all-time goalie mask?
My favorite all-time, well, I mean, it has to be Ryan Miller in the Olympics with the Uncle Sam.
Uncle Sam,
with the flexing. Just because, I mean, I'm American. I live in Canada, so everyone thinks we're patriotic, egotistical assholes up here anyway. So you always, like, I love the country.
To say no, they would be destroyed in a fight.
I see the differences. Like, we were always taught as growing up, like, hey, America is great. This is why. And when you get older, you realize that, you know, some of that stuff was more propaganda than it was truth. Yeah. But I still love where I come from. And I think we get a bad rap with the egotistical, overly patriotic thing. I just think it's, hey, like, you know, this is how we are and this is how you are. And, you know, I try to tell Canadians, like, you guys are safe here because you got the biggest, baddest military yeah. right below you. And we don't want anyone, you know.
When it's because of you that you win two world wars, then you can be that way. You know,
back-to-back champs.
Yeah, undefeated. I thought you were going to say Kipper and his great skull mask being the Flames fan. But yeah, that Ryan Kipper. Miller Vancouver mask was pretty sweet.
Yeah, I mean, I love Kipper. And listen, I still think Kipper could play the game today. And but I'm happy with Markstrom. But we had a pretty bad run of goalies up until we signed Markstrom. But yeah. Kipper's just one of those guys where he's you always hear goalies are weird. Goalies are weird. They're just weird. And Kipper is just weird. Like all he wants to do now is smoke cigarettes and fish.
Yeah.
Like I don't even think he wanted to play goalie when he was in the NHL. I think he just wanted to smoke cigarettes and fish. Like it. And so I love Kipper. I love that attitude. And there's been some sightings of him around Calgary, but I think it's kind of starting to be more like Elvis sightings. I think they're fake, but they're like, oh yeah, I saw Kipper doing this and this.
Funny. So what's your favorite rink to play at? Now this is interesting. Cause you've been to a lot of them.
I've been to a lot of them. God, there's so many. I mean, favorite rink I've been to is Tokyo because I always wanted to play hockey in Japan. But it wasn't anything special. But if we're going to talk about like a special rink, it is the Richmond Oval in Vancouver. And the reason it's special is because it was used for Vancouver Olympics. It was a brand new building. It was where they did the long track speed skating. And it's just like, it's a gorgeous building. Like the ceilings are like 50 foot high and you look up and it's made out of like old, there's like a pine beetle infestation. So they had to get rid of a bunch of trees. And instead of just burning them, they refashioned it into the roof for this place. Oh, cool. And it's two Olympic sized sheets. That's surrounded by glass. You have to ride an elevator up to the rink surface from the locker rooms. There's basketball. It's just a beautiful facility. And I like it because of the elevator, because I wanted to fill that thing with fog one time. Like I get fog and come out, never made it happen, but I will eventually. But yeah. it's probably the most beautiful rink I've ever seen, I've ever played on. I haven't got to go out there since probably 2019, but it's an unbelievably gorgeous building.
Now you talk long track speed skating. And you might remember the name from our youth, but I think I'm a little older than you. But the American speed skater, Bonnie Blair.
Yeah,
she's from Champaign-Urbana, where the University of Illinois is.
Oh, okay.
And they used to have a billboard just outside of Champaign, and it was the Illinois State Police. And she's, you know, skating by one of the radar, and they said, this is the only speeder we will let get by us, you know. It's just kind of like a slow down billboard. Yeah. But it's like just a fun little marketing campaign with the Illinois State Police with the local Olympian. Yeah, in fact, the rink I worked at in high school, we had the North American Short Track Speed Skating Championships, which sucked because we had to take all of the glass down from around the rink, and those things aren't light. But like Apollo Ono was there skating, I got to see all those. And it was titled the North American, but it was really a world short track speed skating championship. Why they didn't have a good explanation to why they call it the North American, because they opened it up to everybody. But it was really cool to just see these world-class speed skaters. And
like, so fast.
Like, yeah. Well, and like they're just coming in and out. Nobody like took notice of them, but we had them at this random rink in the suburbs of Chicago for a week. Is pretty cool.
Well, I think that's why a lot of pro players like to play in places like LA or even Florida, where no one really knows them. They can just kind of go, like they're superstars in their own right, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So what is your favorite stick that you've used?
The favorite stick I've ever used? The Easton S19.
Okay. When you started with Easton, I thought you were about to say the Synergy.
No, not the same. I like that one. And then my very first ever pro stock stick was a Bauer X60, but it was just a repainted XXXX.
Yeah. Okay.
And that was a close one, but that one only lasted about 10 games before it gave out. But I love the feel of it. I never was able to find another one that I liked, but Easton S19 I used for a long time.
we all come across that stick. We love the feel of it. And you can't explain it. It's just like, it's the right stick for me. And unfortunately that one for me, they stopped making, about 22 years ago. Oh, wow.
That's another Bass. Like Bass made some custom sticks and I really like those. And now, I mean, I don't know. I haven't heard from Bass and however, I don't think they're doing anything, but they always had a, as a matter of fact, they had, I can't remember what it was. Maybe it was the Savoy. But they had it and they sent out an email one day saying, hey, we're going to get rid of this one, but we have enough material to make some without graphics. And so I ordered like 20 of them and I'm down to my last one. And so I don't think I'll ever be able to get another one of those.
Yeah. I used to love the Bauer Reactor 5 goalie stick. It was just a great stick. And so many goalies I talked to that use it, they're like, oh my God. Yeah. I remember I was talking to Ron Tugnutt and he's like, I used that stick. It was great. So you didn't play youth hockey, so I'm going to change this one up a little bit and say, what's your favorite hockey memory?
Well, I guess my, I keep going back to Japan. Like for me, I'm a big goal guy. And mm-hmm. so I set goals and then I try to reach them. And you know, what's weird about this goal is I just had started playing hockey and I had an emergency appendectomy. And when we got out of there, I'd probably been playing for maybe a month. And when I got out and got healed, my wife just said, so what's the deal with Japan? And I'm like, what do you mean? And she's like, well, they put you on the morphine or Demerol or whatever it was. And all you talked about was playing hockey in Japan. And I was like, I don't know. I have no clue. And then I was like, well, I guess now I got to go play hockey in Japan. And so that was 2009. And then in 2019, 2008, and then 2019, I made it happen, and I went over there and played, and now I can't wait to get back. So probably my favorite, you know, just landing in Japan, and I remember walking through Shinjuku, which is like the red light district offside of Tokyo, but it's a touristy place too. But I saw this kid with a hockey stick and a bag, and here I am with my hockey bag, my hockey stick, and my suitcase. And he was a Japanese kid. He didn't know any English, and I don't know Japanese. But all I just pointed and I said, hockey. And he said, hockey. And that was all I needed. So I thought that was probably my best
nice.
Hockey. So,
I can only imagine the ones you've heard. But what's the best chirp you've heard on the ice, off the ice, directed at you, not directed at you?
I think one, like when they just come kind of – out of nowhere. And I think one time I we started calling people butt babies.
Yeah. I remember
butt
that
babies. And like, oh yeah, well, you're born out of your mom's ash, piece of shit. So I think that's one. Cause I think it catches people off guard a little bit. That's probably one of the funniest ones. I even in baseball, like I don't remember, like, I just kind of have this thing where I can tune out all the stuff.
Same. That's
kind of in serious games. So, you know, in drafts, there's not really much chirping, you know, other than, you know, Jeff Peck, who.
Well, the chirping is always in the locker room from your own team.
Yeah, exactly. Like Jeff Peck, like we give him, you know, the gears on, you know, all he does is toe drag and he takes too long shifts.
Never passes.
So like I can't remember really any competitive games where I can remember. I remember one time in high school baseball, a guy threw at me and hit me. And then as I was walking down the thing, he just gave me a little crybaby. And then the next time I was bad, I hit a dinger on him. And when I was walking around the bases, I was just giving the old crybaby. But yeah, I mean, the chirping is one of the hard ones. And I've asked a bunch of pros that I've known, like, what's the best chirps? And they're like, we can't even pay attention. Yeah. Like,
some of them know. So Sean Podine, he won a Stanley Cup. And I've told this story too. He won a Stanley Cup with Colorado. And he wound up being traded from Colorado. In fact, he's known for keeping his skates on for like 24 hours because he had a broken foot and he knew when he took it off, it was going to hurt. But he had this dog that he absolutely loved, Buddy. And so when he was traded, I forget where he was traded to, but first game playing the Avalanche again, he's skating by the bench. And one of the guys is like, hey, Sean, Buddy's a homosexual. And he's like, and I heard this not from another hockey player, but from Sean's cousin, was one of my neighbors. And he's like, Sean was just like, that made no sense. It's a dog. Like, but it just, it, just caught him at where he's like, what the heck? He's like, I had to just go to the bench and get off the ice because it just threw him off.
Yeah,
he's like, that was a good one. They knew how much he loved his dog. So they just say, you know, yeah. And he's like, and rather than just say, hey, your dog's gay or something, they had to like be very formal.
Yeah, he's
like, it's like, that's a good one. One of my favorite that actually came hurled at me was from a ref, my first high school varsity game. First shot goes in, first shot of the season. Ref comes up to me, picks the puck up out of the net, stands up, looks at me, goes, well, you got that one out of the way. I was like, yeah, I did. He's like, yeah. Let's see how the rest of the game goes. Yeah, I want to play good the rest of the game, but it's like, oh, you got that one out of the way. It's like, thanks, Stripes. So what's the worst post-game beer you've had?
Oh, boy. I had a guy, and listen, I love chocolate milk, I like beer. But this guy said, oh, we'll combine them. We'll combine them both, and we'll have a chocolate milk beer. I just remember like drinking it, and it had a okay flavor, but my stomach was messed up for like 4 days afterwards. Like it just wasn't. So now I won't do any activity and drink chocolate milk beer. Although there was one in Pittsburgh that I had just at a bar, a chocolate milk beer, and it was really good, but I would not drink it before or after hockey.
So yeah, a good chocolate milk stout, which I used to brew my own beer. So I know a little bit about the brewing process and why they call it milk stout. I'm not entirely sure, but you add lactose to it, and I think that's why. But yeah, a good chocolate milk stout. But yeah, after a game, it's got to be a while after the game. In fact, there's a brewery here by us, Dangerous Man. They got a peanut butter cup stout. It's like drinking a peanut butter cup milkshake. Ooh, it's amazing.
That'd be heavy.
Yeah, after a game, not so much. Not going to drink that one, but any other time I'm all over that chocolate milk or that peanut butter cup stout. When you tape your stick, you go heel to toe or toe to heel?
Heel to toe. I do heel to toe for sure, but sometimes like I don't score many goals, and sometimes I'll be like, if it's been a while, I'll just start doing weird stuff. Like I've done it. Like I've not put any tape on it. I put the one strip. One time I put out a fire with my stick and the tape was burnt and then I scored a goal. So it was incredible that happened. So, but usually if I'm going to tape it, it's fast. It's just heel to toe and be done with it.
Yeah. That for goalies anyway, is the majority. So you might be more of a goalie than you realize.
Yeah.
What's your favorite number to wear and why?
Number 10, Chipper Jones.
And you still haven't gotten them on the podcast yet.
I've tried. You know, I tried to go to a field one time with Chipper Jones. I remember my buddy brought me out, and I was on the field at a Cardinals game. I had this big ball. I wish I had it here. It's a big official Major League Baseball. And all I wanted, I had it for like 5 years. I just wanted Chipper Jones to sign it. I tried to get on the field and it didn't work. I tried to go see him again and it didn't work. And then when I start a podcast, the number one thing I said is the one thing I want to do is I want to interview Chipper Jones, and I just can't get it. And I listen, maybe it freaks him out because like my screen name is Nicker Jones, which was my nickname in high school because I walked into a careers class and the cheerleader, I was late and she goes, oh, look, it's Nicker Jones. And it just kind of stuck. So it was like my AOL screen name. It's my email address. And,
all right. We're showing our age now when we talk about our AOL screen names.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, it's always been Nicker Jones. But for me, like I'm literally looking right now, I have a Chipper Jones lunch pail right here. And so I've always just been number 10 and it just kind of carried over. And, you know, one day I hope if I can keep growing the BLPA to where we are a force, maybe that's the only reason I'm trying to grow it into a force. Is so I can interview Chipper Jones.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe you got to start going roundabout and get a guy like Ryan Sandberg on. He seems to be pretty fan friendly these days. Not only supporting pot dispensaries in Illinois.
Yeah. You know, I mean, for me, you know, and before the Braves, I was a huge Cubs fan. Like I loved Ryan Sandberg.
The Superstation.
Yeah. I loved Andre Dawson. The Hawk was my man.
He was great.
Will Grace, Mark Grace, sorry.
Yeah.
And then, you know, but WGN, that's where there were so many Cubs fans, but then TBS was always showing the Braves. And then my second little league team was the Braves. So then I just switched over to like, I'm just a Braves fan. So,
I had a Cabbage Patch Kid doll that came with the Cubs uniform, and the thing had its name change like every week. It was Rick Sutcliffe. It was Mark Grace. It was Ryan Sandberg, Joe Girardi, Jody Davis. You know, it was like whoever was my favorite player of the week.
Yeah.
That was this Cabbage Patch Kid's name. But Sean Dunston, we went to a Cubs game, me and my dad, and we were standing outside Wrigley along third baseline where the players used to park, which is now some corporate office that the Ricketts family built. And Ryan Sandberg comes out, he walks straight to his car. And at the time, we're all kind of like, oh, he's kind of a jerk. Well, it turns out teammates have said it wasn't that he didn't like fans. And you see it now. He loves the fans, does everything he can as an ambassador. He was just so focused on the game, he didn't think about the fans. It's like, okay, I can buy that. Because he wasn't a jerk to the fans. He just didn't go. He wasn't like Carlton Fisk, who's a great asshole, but a great ball player. But Andre Dawson stood out there for almost 2 hours signing autographs and finally got to the point. He's like, I haven't gotten to all of you. Didn't get to me. He's like, but my hand hurts. I can't sign anymore, guys. Was the guy stood out there for 2 hours talking to people. And, you know, he was just awesome. I got Sean Boskey's autograph that day, though.
I can remember with that big ball, because I remember Brian McCann came over and he's like, do you want me to sign? I'm like, nope, I just want Chipper. And even Chipper, like he said, I'll be right back. And then he never came back. And I was like, okay.
Hate when that happens.
I know. I even tried to get my dad to, like, my dad and his buddies owned like a big construction company. And I was like, well, don't you guys need to like get some tax write-offs? Like, you can pay for this charity hunt and I can go hunt with Chipper Jones for $20,000. And like, no, like, they're like, you don't even like hunting. And I'm like, yeah, but I would just sit in the tree stand and talk to Chipper Jones. And he's like, Chipper Jones likes to hunt. He's not going to want you just sitting there talking. And I'm like, right. I guess you're right.
But the point of hunting is quiet.
But when I was hunting, like I've been hunting twice. And I went one time black powder, 15 minutes in the stand, killed a deer. I went rifle, 10 minutes in the stand, killed a deer. And I'm like, what? This isn't hard. This is too easy. And then the third time I didn't see anything I think I was out there for 4 days and didn't see one thing. And so I was like, this sucks. I don't want to hunt anymore.
So I grew up in Chicago. We had to go to the zoo to see cows. Okay. So I didn't hunt growing up. I didn't fish. You know, when I got to college and kids were like, you don't fish. I was like, we had one lake and you didn't want to eat the fish out of there. But when I met my wife 22 years ago, my father-in-law, he's a hunter, fishes, all this stuff. He has threatened to take me hunting for 22 years, but we've yet to go. So I think at this point I'm pretty safe. We've done shooting and stuff like that. And I've surprised him with my shooting accuracy and proficiency with the gun. And he's like, didn't expect that of you. He's like, well, I am from Chicago. We got to know a thing or two. But yeah, I've yet to go hunting, but I have enough friends that do that. I always get good venison every year if I want it. And we've even got a couple restaurants here nearby that all they serve is wild game. So that's really nice too. Yeah.
I mean, that's what I just really want for jerky. Like, I love jerky. Like, you've probably seen my jerky reviews and stuff. And I just want it for jerky. But, you know, then I'm also not a fan of waking up early. So being in a tree stand before the sun's up is not my idea of fun.
My in-laws used to have a hobby farm. They had like 20 some odd acres and they had this awesome gnarly tree at the back of the property line that like it went down into the ground and came back up. It was just cool. And my brother-in-law would go out there every deer season. And it was great because the deer would follow the fence line. At dusk, you'd have like 25, 30 deer walking by. My brother-in-law would go out there, sit in the tree all day. And we could always tell when he was about to fall out of the tree because he fell asleep. Because he just starts going, and jerking back. And we're like, there he... It was like a 6-foot fall into like a bog. So it's like he fell onto a cushion. So it wasn't, but it was always funny that it was like, there he is. He's going to fall. He never got the deer when he was hunting out there. But it's like, why do you even try?
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't know. So the last question, what advice do you have for young goalies?
Oh boy. Well, which one do you want? Nick the villain or Nick the
bull?
Nick the villain is, pick another position. You know, I guess a real piece of advice is, listen, I know you love being goalie, but try both. Just like as a skater, I would tell skaters to go try goalie or one of the big ones is go try to be a referee.
Yeah.
Because you see things differently when you try different stuff. Don't get stuck in just the rut. Even playing baseball, playing all the other sports, I'd always want to try different positions. Like, I was never a pitcher, but I wanted to pitch just to see what pitchers were thinking, when they were up there pitching. I can remember pitching in high school and just getting lit up, but I just want to try it. Like, let me have a game. Like, it's a summer game. It doesn't matter. And I just got lit up, but I could kind of get in more understanding of, that one-on-one. So I always say, try as many of the different things as you can. Don't just get stuck in, oh, I'm just a goalie, or, oh, I'm just a defenseman, or I'm just a player. I don't need a referee or whatever. Like, try it all, figure out, you can probably learn a few things, and you might find something you like better.
Yeah. Well, we don't want goalies to find something they like better than goalie, but I'm with you. I started as a squirt. If I wasn't playing, I was skating out, and that was invaluable to me. One, it helped me with my skating, because as we said earlier, north and south versus east and west, you become a stronger skater. Mm-hmm. And you start to understand the game better. You start to understand the systems better. And we're in those meetings of going over systems, but it's very easy to just be like, I just got to stop the puck. I got to follow the puck. I don't care, about the, strong side wing, or, the side overload, or the umbrella, any of that. Like, I don't care. But once you do skate out, you start to understand it a little better. If your defenseman's not covering your back door, maybe you understand why he's where he's at versus where you want him. So there is benefit to it, but at some point you do have to, shit or get off the pot if you want to be a goalie.
and when you get older and you stop growing, you don't need more than one new set of pads a season. So,
hey, I went 21 years with the same set. So this is true.
I wish I could remember what the brand, and they're actually in my garage right now, because my wife's uncle was a goalie. Like, he really good goalie, and his son I remember he WHL, he was trying out for WHL team, so he had some skills, and he's the one that gave me these goalie pads, and they're the most ridiculous. Like, they're not new and modern. Like, they're literally they're so wide. He's like, oh, these are oversized, they'll help you stop pucks. I don't think they're legal, to be honest with you, but I mean they worked for me for my five games. So
my stuff that I replaced last November, it would have never passed today's standards. The glove was known as like one of the biggest gloves they ever made. in fact, last night, one of the pucks that got by me, I even said to myself, if I was wearing my old T4000, I have that puck. It was that big, and that was one of the things I was worried most about with getting the new stuff, was the stuff's narrower, the glove's smaller. How am I going to react? I've adjusted nicely, and my knees are thankful. and there's not as many leather straps on the back of my pads. I did go with two just for nostalgic reasons, but I'm liking it. But Nick, thank you for giving me 90 minutes of your time.
Oh, no, my pleasure.
I know we could probably keep talking. I'm sure we're probably going to coordinate seeing each other when you're in Minnesota here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, for sure.
We're probably going to be at the rink anyway. You'll probably be cleaning things up Sunday night as I'm getting there, because I'm that goalie. I still get to the rink an hour before my games. So
okay, if I'm not, I'll stick around and at least say hi. If that's all, we get to see each other. So I do appreciate you having us on here, and I appreciate you, being part of what we're trying to build with the BLPA. And as always, anything I can do to help, you just let me know, and I'll keep doing your thing. And obviously, I'm not an actual goalie. Those five games doesn't qualify me. So you keep being the goalie's voice, and I'll keep playing the villain if that's what you all
need. You've put the pads on. You've tried it. And the other thing, too, is you weren't just after one game like, no. You're like, let me give it,
Well, no, I won. I won the first two. It was the one after I lost. I didn't want to play.
Yeah. But you know what? Like, last night, we just got shelled. The team we played, they had some new blood on it. They were fast, and their passing was crisp. And, it wasn't like they were beating me on – well, they were beating me on the first shot, but it wasn't the easy shot. It was the cross ice, I can only stretch so much, and I can do the split. So that's saying something. Yeah. But I was like, okay, but – after the game, it's like, all right, guys, well, that was fun. I'm just a little upset nobody remembered beer in week one of the new season.
Well, that's not a good team. Get out of that one.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't score our only goal until like 90 seconds left in the game. But, you know, after the second period, it was already out of hand. I looked at the guys like, hey, as long as nobody has a heart attack in this last period, it's a victory, boys. And that's what it's all about.
This brings a question that I guess I can ask you as a goalie, because I'm not an official goalie, so I can't answer it. You're getting beat, whatever. You're down 10-0. Mm-hmm. Would you rather players keep coming in and shooting on you, or would you rather them take their foot off the gas and just dump it in the corner and play out the game?
It depends on the game. You know, there's been times where, you know, we're down like 8-1 one game, and I just make a nice save, and this guy looks at me, he's like, dude, let me get one here. And I mm-hmm. told him, I was like, look at the scoreboard. Like, you guys already have a few. You know, those are the games where I think I stopped like 54 shots that game. And we lost like 8-1, 8-2 or something. And it's like those games, despite what the scoreboard says, I'm in a zone, keep them coming. But like last night's game, they were coming down on a 3-on-1 with 30 seconds left. And I knew they were going to do the cross ice pass. I'm like, just take the shot. Don't go for the pretty setup. Luckily the guy missed the pass, but it was like, look at the scoreboard. Yeah, look where you're at in the game. I mean,
there's one, I remember we were playing in Ann Arbor and our team was clearly way better than the other team. And we're up 7 goals or something. It's last minute of the game. A guy comes in and tries to dangle, and I just poke the puck off a stick, and it's at their blue line. And I look up and it's just me and the goalie, and he sets up, and I'm like, am I supposed to go shoot on him? Like, I don't know what to do. And so I go down there and I'm not even like, I don't make a move. Like, I just, I just shoot it like glove, like top corner. And I go bar down, which that doesn't happen. Like, it's not like where it just happened to be that way.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, am I a dick because I just did this to this guy, and, or am I not? But he did square up. Like, we made eye contact. Yeah. I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do? But then I see goalies that are maybe lower, less skilled. And then people will come down and they'll just skate out of the net and be like, there's habit. And it's just like, that's kind of a dick move on the goalie. Like,
yeah, you know? I mean, and maybe that's where not being a beginner goalie is, it might sound a little cocky, but you know, I played competitive for a while, you know, at a decent level. And through that, you learn through adversity. You know, to your point, you were talking about when you were umping and you talked to the other coach who was an old teammate of yours, like, hey, how about you let off? Well, that's not how we were brought up. So coming up through the ranks where teams didn't do that, like, you learn how to deal with it. And in those games, you know, as a beer leaguer now, I don't focus on the final score. I kind of chop it up into 2-minute games. I'm like, all right. Or in a game like last night's, let's just stop the next shot.
I guess it's, and it always, it's the person too, right? But I always, we always say like running up the score, run up the score. And you know, I'll say, well, like, it's kind of shitty to have someone just stop playing.
Right.
You know, like, well, oh, you're not good enough to even to have this guy play me. Like, what's going on? Right.
So. And like you said too, it's the player too. I mean, there's the guys in our league that they're playing down because they like the group they play with. I mean, that was me when I first started skating with this team. I didn't belong in the league, but, you know, I liked the group. Yeah. So I did. One of my teammates from college, he was on the team. He was pretty good forward, but he only played defense. But if we needed a goal late in the game because we were behind, he'd get us one. But if he were the one to make that poke check move and then go in and go bar down, that's kind of a dick move.
Yeah.
But it's knowing the player. I mean, there's games where we're getting blown out, but they have that one guy on the team that can barely skate, and then he gets the shot, you know, chance to take a shot. That's different. Like, he's trying.
Yeah.
Because
for sure. He doesn't get
that's his skill level. Yeah. But if it's the clear ringer, you know, then it's like, come on, dude. Like, cycle the puck, move it around. It's all situational.
And I would say, like, their goalie is like, they want to see pucks. Like,
if they
rob you, you're up 8-1 and they have a glove save and they windmill it and then kiss the puck and give it back to you, they're going to remember that one.
Yeah.
Not those other 10 they let in. Right.
Well, I made a sweet glove save last night. It was one of those where just a guy got I was on my right side and they passed it out to the left and the guy shot. And I just made that nice stretching. I didn't do the full windmill, but it was the stretch and, you know, had to posterize it almost, the Statue of Liberty, we used to call it, where you just kind of hold it out there.
No, I think the windmill needs to be used more in beer league. I need to see more windmill. Like, if you're going to make the save, let me know you made it. Just wrap it around. I don't care. Or if you're on my team, I tell my goalies that all the time. Windmill, let's see it.
I'm known for stacking the pads too. You know, it's like, if I'm going to play beer league, I'm going to stack the pads. And it's funny when my teammates, they've gotten used to it, and I'm playing with this group for, I think, 6 years now, and they still love it every time I do it. Yeah, but even when I do it against other teams and just stone somebody, like, they love it.
Like a Tim Thomas, like Patrick Wall, like when those guys did it, like, I like to see that. I want to see personality in that. And if you got to stack them, if you got to windmill it, let's see.
Yeah.
More goalie personality is where it's at.
Yeah. So, well, again, it's getting late. We've been talking a while. So I know you've had a long travel day. I'll let you get some rest, and we'll be in touch, and I'll probably see you here in a couple weeks.
All right. Thanks, Joe. Hey, thank you for having me, and keep doing what you're doing, buddy. Thank you.
All right. Have a good one, Nick.
Right. Hey, you too. Thanks.
I've known Nick for some time because of this podcast. He actually helped answer some questions as I was working on launching it. So in a way, without him, there's a chance we're not at episode 88 of Tendy Talk. Because I've known him so long, I knew much of his gripe with goalies has always been to get a conversation going and to drive engagement. And you know what? It's worked. Be sure to follow Nick on Instagram and Twitter at TheNickerJones, and follow the BLPA on all platforms at TheBLPA. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube simply by searching for Wash Up Goalie, and I'll pop up. Visit washupgoalie.com for some great hockey-related content. My Beer League hockey video highlights, although there haven't been many highlights of late, and of course, all podcast episodes. You can also find the link to my October Saves dashboard in case you would like to donate money to their great cause. If you want some Wash Up Goalie or Tendy Talk apparel, be sure to visit my Threadless shop by clicking the merchandise link on my website. If you liked this podcast with Nick, go listen to his show, The BLPA Big Show. It's the OG BLPA Podcast Network show where a couple of beer league players talk beer league hockey, draft experience shenanigans, and exploits from around the game. Be sure to check out the full lineup of hockey-related podcasts on the Hockey Podcast Network as well. There are too many lists here, but shows like the Sporty Podcast, the Brew and Bruins Podcast, and the Straight Up Sabres Podcast can all be found. If you're looking for something good to read instead of listen to, get yourself a subscription to Vintage Tendy Magazine. Published quarterly, the magazine takes a deep dive into a goalie from the 80s or 90s era, with the first five issues covering such legends as Felix Potvin, Grant Fuhr, Tim Shovelday, Jocelyn Thibault, Ken Reggett, John Van Biesbroek, and episode 20 guest, masked painter and designer Don Strauss. I need to thank the band Zambonis for allowing me to use their music on my episodes. You can download their music on iTunes or listen wherever you stream music from. I'm always working on lining up more goalies to talk to. It's becoming harder and harder these days. If you are a goalie or have connections to a goalie who I should talk to, shoot me an email at washupgoalie39@gmail.com or send me a DM on social media. And let's not forget, if you're a brand who wants to sponsor the show, be sure to reach out to me. I'd be happy to talk. And finally, if you like what you hear, be sure to subscribe, rate, and comment on the podcast platform you're listening on. It's a quick action on your part that helps others find Tendy Talk. Until next time, keep your stick on the ice and your body square to the puck.
checked out the pond today?
It's funny you ask. I was just down there this morning.
Yeah, any good news?
Well, Dave, the pond?
Yeah.
It's froze right over.